J. Raven, and I'm very glad you're joining us again today. Today we're going to have another very interesting show. We have with us the author of this book, The Secret Language of Your Body, Ina Segal, who is from Australia and is making a tour around the United States with this book and with herself, teaching people about what it means to be healthy, what it means to be ill, and how to go from one to the other in a rather simple, elegant process. And that's going to be the subject of today's show, so each of you listening can really get a handle on a simple process that you can engage in by yourselves and come to another level of your own health and well-being simply by following some easy, basic rules. So I'm really glad that you're on the show today.
Thank you, Mitchell. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you. Now, you have gotten critical acclaim for this, Ina. Dr. Bernard Siegel, who we've had on the radio show, writes the foreword, and you've had just one person or another, you know, very high-level, prestigious people just saying, Ina, you are fabulous. And Michael Beckwith, among others. And, you know, this is fabulous. This is fabulous that you... Your work has kind of taken root in the United States because we need help. So as we say, spasiba, thank you. I say that because of your Russian roots, that is, we have in common. So what is it first that inspired you? You've got such a rich, deep, interesting history that most healers, in a sense, cannot quite claim. And you may want to share all of it, some of it, but... feel free.
Well, Mitchell, what inspired me was that I was in a lot of pain. And so from maybe when I was 13, I was having all sorts of issues, you know, and mm-hmm. by 15, I was having back pain, I was having digestive problems. As I kept going, growing up, I have psoriasis, I have anxiety, and all of this stuff was just taking over my life. And then I went to see everyone, all the chiropractors, physios, doctors, alternative practitioners. But I guess I went there with this point of view, here I am, heal me.
Yeah.
You know? And then that wasn't happening. And the turning point really came when I was, you know...
Were they not able to properly diagnose you? Were they seeking to offer you simple medications? Was the chiropractor not finding the subluxations to correct the issue? What? Because there's a level on which heal me works.
That's right. It was, and yeah, they weren't finding it because it was energetic, it was emotional, it was ancestral. So even though they kept, you know, whether it was a physio or a chiropractor, and I'm all for these kinds of modalities, mm-hmm. but they were trying to, you know, work on, I guess, on the physical. And my issue was not so physical, even though I was having a lot of physical pain, you know, and so...
The symptoms were expressing themselves physically, but your pain was emotional / existential, most
That's
likely.
Right. Yeah. You know, and so this particular chiropractor is actually quite amazing, you know, and I had gone to see him for a while with this kind of thing, and, you know, this particular day... I remember this day, I wake up and I felt like I was twisted. My back was twisted. I was really in agony. Mm. And I went to his office. I got there, you know, it was a 2-minute drive. I experienced what it was like to get out of your body when you're in that much pain.
Oh my. And you were about 20 years old?
Yeah, I was in my, you know, and I kind of, you know, I was with my husband and he helped me get into the office. And when I got there, the chiropractor came out. He didn't even let me come into his office. And he just looked at me. He kind of walked around me. I remember he was very relaxed. And he said, oh, you know, your body's stuck. And I was like, yes, I know this part. What are you going to do about this? And he said, nothing. And I said, what do you mean nothing? And he said, your body's stuck. It wants to be stuck. Go home. And so on the way home, I was so mad about this response that I wasn't feeling as much pain. I was feeling the anger. I was actually feeling sorry for Paul, my husband.
Mm.
because I was,
you were in such pain,
because I was so mad, you know, that somebody could and say mad, that right, exactly. Yeah, you know, and I was expressing this.
Did the anger help to assuage your pain?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
You know, because when I got you know, when you are in pain, you get depressed. Yeah. Often, you know, because it's, and especially when you're going round and round in circles and nothing happens.
Definitely.
And so I was like, oh my God, you know, I've had enough. And then I got angry. And then all of a sudden I had all this energy in my body. And I was like, okay, if nobody can help me, then I'm going to help myself. This is it. You know, it was like, this is it. And so because I didn't really know how to do it, and even though I had been to some places, I was, you know, when nothing helps you, you get very jaded and skeptical.
Sure.
And so even though I was really young, I'd already kind of went, okay, another thing and another thing that doesn't help me. And so at this point, I thought, I'm going to help myself. I had studied acting. And in acting, we were taught lots of things, like it was, you know, there was lots of yoga, there was meditation, there was breath techniques that we had to learn. It was like how to be in the present, how to connect with yourself. So I thought, this is what I'm doing. So I literally started breathing with the pain rather than against the pain, because mm-hmm. I wanted to get into my body.
You're letting go of the resistance.
Yeah, I was dissolving the resistance, mm-hmm. you know. And then I placed my hands on my back. I didn't know what I was doing, but now I know that when you do that, your brain connects with your nervous system and the energy starts flowing. Plus, in your hands, you have a lot of healing energy.
Sure.
You know, and healing abilities.
So you were saying that when you place your hands on your back, it establishes a connection between your hands through the spinal cord to the brain. That's and right. Then...
And also the hands themselves have energy in them. They have chakras. There's exactly. acupressure points that run all over them.
They're hot.
Yeah.
Energetically. You
know, that's so...
Pericardium 8, etc.
Yeah. And so as I'm breathing and connecting, I started going, okay, if there is something divine out there, and I'm not sure if there is, but if there is, I want help and I want it now. I was very specific and precise. You know, and I started to feel this warmth going through my body and kind of like this golden flickers of light. And I thought, okay, this is working. Something's happening. I'm connecting. And then I thought, my mind obviously at different points would come in and out. And so I was counting backwards from 30 just to get my mind busy. You know, I wanted yes. to be connected.
Distraction technique.
Yeah. And so then I thought, okay, now I want to see my body. I want to see my spine. I want to see exactly what's happening there. And as I'm asking this and breathing and feeling, I actually get an image of my spine, and it's like x-ray vision. And I get a fright because it doesn't look good. But I can see the inflammation around it. And so I go, I want to go inside this and I want to find out exactly what this is about. You know, and so I start going, is this about fear? Like, what's going on? Is there, you know? And so as I'm breathing, I'm feeling, yes, there's fear, there's different emotions. You know, I was born in Russia, I had to move. You know, there was a lot of stress in this. So I didn't feel
early
supported.
Early childhood, no less.
Yeah. You know, and going to school and not feeling accepted. And sure. all of this stuff comes.
And you had to learn English?
Had to learn English, didn't know one word.
Oh.
So I had to breathe through all this, you know, and I'm going, okay, I'm feeling that energy and it's like I'm letting it go. And then I go, let's go further. Is this does this have something to do with my family? And so my parents had a lot of issues, you know, with money, and I'm sure people can relate, and with just struggling and fighting. So I never felt like I could relax at home. I always felt there was tension and I didn't know what would happen next. And so all of this was lodged in my back and my spine. And then I thought, let's go further. What about my grandparents? You know, and my grandparents had gone through the war, and my grandmother had lost her mother. Her mother was literally shot as she was pushing her over a fence. And then she had six brothers and sisters who were all either buried alive or shot. And so this, you know, and then my grandmother was 13. She survived for 4 years in the forest on her own. And this trauma, then she couldn't talk about this for 50 years. So all of that, you know, was not expressed.
And did she live with you? Did your grandmother live with
her? I lived with her when I was younger.
Yeah.
you know, from like
until. But when you moved to Australia, she did not go with you?
No, but then she came later.
I see.
By that stage, she was in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, and my grandfather was in like a Siberian labor camp for 10 years, you know, from 14 to 24. So there was an enormous amount of trauma stored there. And then I also went further and I said, is there anything else? And what I discovered was that I was one of those people who had a sign on my forehead saying, if you have a problem, come and talk to me and I'll help you. And I was also like an empath, so I would take everything on. And so they would feel better and I would feel so drained and everything was in pain. And when I realized that, and I realized that I don't have to hold on to this, and I kept saying, I'm willing to let this go, I fell asleep. And the next morning when I wake up, my back wasn't twisted, and about 70% of the pain was gone. And I thought, okay, now I'm interested. Something has happened and I want to explore this. And I started exploring it for the next few weeks. I wanted to work on my digestion. I wanted my back to improve more. And I wanted to wear high heels. I wanted to,
You were 20 years old.
Yeah. I wanted my skin to improve. I wanted to, you know, lessen my anxiety. I wanted to have a life.
Of course.
And so within 3 weeks, things changed dramatically. And then the real healing began, I say. You know, and then I started to really explore this, and I was a journalist, and I was studying journalism, and I thought, this is perfect. I'm just gonna, you know, find out everything I need to know by interviewing people, by connecting with them, by going to their workshops, by understanding myself.
Basically, so-called alternative or energetic healing was the domain.
Yeah.
Wow. Really, God. Pain is the teacher.
Yeah. It was
for so many. You know,
it is.
Whether it's physical or emotional, you know, I mean, there's the archetype, as we were talking about earlier, of the importance of these kind of collective images in the psyche of men and women. And this one is that of the wounded healer, which has been here for some time immemorial, really.
I think
And I think all healers really participate in it in one way or another. I know when I was going to graduate school, that's the thesis of my graduate work was the image of the wounded healer and how we as, you know, modern day psychotherapists, healers, are connecting to that shamanic tradition and we're the latter day expression of it, essentially, you know, in Western garb. So, no, I hear you, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, and you also developed this sight, Ina, to see inside your body and others. And that's remained with you since that age? And did you further develop that too, or what?
I have, especially because I've had this amazing opportunity to travel to other countries where they don't speak English.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I was already very good at it, but when you're in a country where people don't speak English, you have...
Russian, for that matter.
Yeah, or Russian. You need to tune in.
Did you keep that?
Yeah, I can speak Russian. You can tune in... And you can, you know, it's like you sense people. And so I'd be in different countries and people would be saying things. And before they even finished, I would answer. And they'd go, oh, my God, you know this language. And I'm like, no, I can read you. I can feel what you're saying.
Oh, you would answer in their language?
No, I would answer in English before they finished. Because I would have translators okay, I get it. This is the answer. You know, and so... When I went to these countries, it really made a huge difference because then you have to use other senses.
Exactly.
You know, so I think I improved dramatically.
That's how we develop extrasensory perception, right? You know? No, it's a brilliant thing. And just to share with you all, we took some time before the show and Ina read me and oh my God, what an ill human being. I know, I love what you saw and it actually does very much connecting each item connected to something pretty much that I knew about myself on some level, you know. So that was liberating in itself.
Because
the conscious recognition of something allows a tension that had been there to release. That's just part of the way it all works, do you know?
I agree. It's acknowledgement. That's what I always say to people.
Exactly.
You know, in my book, the first thing in the secret language of your body is, like, the first section is about what happened to me, but how people can do that. So there is a process how you can connect to yourself, how you can start asking yourself questions, because we need to acknowledge, you know, we need to make sure that things are, you know, explored.
What goes next after people acknowledge and sense themselves and start to, in a sense, befriend themselves? What are the next steps that the audience could do to follow the ideas that you have embedded in the secret language of the body?
Well, there's lots, you know, and one of them is...
Well, a few.
Okay. Well, I always talk about the breath, because I think that's something that we have inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the hands, you know. So I ask people to place their hands, usually on the part of their body. Let's say you've got stomach pains, aches, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I'd say to people, place your hands on that part of your body. So already we know there is a connection. Start breathing slowly and deeply. So, you know, so that you can connect with your body. Often, if people can have time to just shake their bodies before and move, just to get some circulation going, that's better.
Yeah.
You'll get better response.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, it's really slowing down, closing your eyes, tuning in, breathing, and then going, and then exploring and going, okay, if there was a feeling, you know, that was related to this part of my body, what feeling would it be, right? And so you acknowledge the feeling, right? And sometimes people go, I don't know what I'm feeling, I don't feel anything. And I say, numbness is a feeling.
Yeah.
Not feeling anything is a feeling. Acknowledge that. And then, you know, I give people different techniques. Sometimes I say, literally, like, you feel that energy, I want you to visualize a fire in front of you. Acknowledge, feel it, and then literally pull that density out of your body. It can sound strange for some people, and it's very simple, but it works. You know, it really works. I've seen people take pain out of their bodies. I saw somebody yesterday who was in, you know, like, really tense and emotional, and I said to her, let's do this process. And she was crying, and she was feeling, and she was connecting, and, like, literally taking stuff out of her body. And within 5 minutes, her face changed completely, and she's like, I can breathe. You know, so it's like we acknowledge, we feel, and then we take, let go. And then, you know, I also work a lot with color, and orange is a great color, easy one for releasing dissolving emotions.
Mm.
But often I ask people to use orange and red because both are really powerful and do different things.
Sure.
You know, so red is like fire, you know, it finds, it starts dissolving, so it's very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Orange is softer and it works on emotions and cells, you know, and trauma. And so what I ask people to do is rub their hands together. And as they rub their hands together, there's tingling sensation. So already they can feel energy and then visualize those colors, right? So let's say orange here, red here, bring them together as if there's a ball of energy. Keep breathing as you're doing that. And then place their hands just above or on that part of their body. Breathe that in. Close your eyes, observe as this energy starts dissolving. And then I ask people to repeat the word clear. Clear, 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 clear. Which works on many different levels.
So they have to pronounce it with an Australian accent?
Yeah. You know, to clear, you know, it's like vacuuming things out. And
for best effect.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. You know.
Sure, of course.
Basically
what you're saying, Ina, is this age-old adage, which is that the body follows the mind, and
yeah.
The mind instructs and the body follows. So
yeah, we need instructions.
Even though, you know, according to, if you look at the template of modern medicine, which has no room for the mind doesn't exist, really, although this is slightly changing these days with psychoneuroimmunology and some other little things, hypnosis, etc., but by and large, it's a mechanical, machine-like, robotic. There really isn't the understanding of the way the mind is influencing the body. But the mind cannot not influence the body, is what I tell people. It's constantly influencing the body.
Oh, yeah.
but constantly. And that's one of the problems, that people have no consciousness about its influence moment to moment. And we therefore are suffering way too much because we're not conscious of what it is we're thinking and the tensions and stresses we're creating, which are being expressed through and mirrored in the body.
And also how there's so many energetic things that affect us, and ancestral memories, like we said, and you know, so many things. And so when your mind can understand it, then it can be useful. And if there's a process that you can go through to actually acknowledge it, heal it, transform it, that is easy, but that's using your senses, your emotions, your touch, your feelings, your voice, your movement, you know, your hearing, your visualization.
Have fun at healing.
Exactly.
Have fun at healing.
Yeah, joyful.
Needless to say, pain
creative.
Isn't fun. You know, it goes without saying, but at the same time, you can usually crawl or dance a little bit. I mean, it sounds odd, but in reality, if you bring the playful energy in at moments of greatest crisis, you create a merger.
I know, and by exploring your body and being in touch with it and connected to the wisdom that it contains, then, you know, even if you have pain, it goes very quickly because your body and your nervous system has learned how to let it go, and your soul is so strong. So it's not just the mind, but it's the soul, and it can help with this whole transformational process.
Exactly. Wow, it's beautiful. Now, you know, it looks like people are going to have to just go get the book to get the rest of this download. You know, it's not going to be able to be handled in 28 minutes, you know. But is there any other particular salient point that you would like to make to the audience?
I really want people to know that you are wise. You're wise beyond anything that you can imagine. And the body is incredible. It's living, it's breathing, it has so much wisdom and gifts to give us if we recognize and acknowledge it and love it and really work with it rather than working against it. And then we can allow, through the body, we can connect to our soul, we can expand, we can explore, we can evolve. And I really think that it's just this incredible reflection of life. You know, this is how you know how you're living your life and if it's working or not.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like the canvas, you know.
Yeah.
We have a thought, it shows up in our body. We have a feeling, it shows up in
exactly.
our body.
Exactly.
Body is just it's the mirror, you know, and it shows how well we're living our lives or not, and how happy we are or not. I mean, there's sort of like no hiding. It's in the present.
Exactly.
Our mind might be a zillion years ahead or behind, but the body.
I know, there's no lying. It's just clear, and this is what it is. It shows up everything, especially now.
Exactly. Now, last question, Ina. You are having a pretty interesting effect on the medical community in Australia.
Not just Australia, but around
the
world.
I know that, but where else?
Even here, I mean, look at it.
It's beginning to happen,
right,
exactly.
There's a lot of
doctors
who are supporting me.
The book is catching on, and the doctors are really listening.
It's exciting.
Wonderful. Well, I want to say spasiba, hadashol. Thank you for this good work.
Thank you.
It's always wonderful to find another healer and educator with your level of intelligence and experience to bring to the foreground. So.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you. You'll come back again.
Yes.
We'll have you on the radio. Your website?
InnaSegal.com. So InnaSegal.com. And there's a lot of interesting information.
Fabulous. This is Mitchell J. Raven for A Better World. Thanks for joining us. And visit us at our website, www.abetterworld.net. And write to me directly and tell me your thoughts, feelings, opinions at mjr@abetterworld.net. Thanks so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you.